A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterward, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Per Evangelia Dicta, Deleanta Nostra Delita. Today's first reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. He reminds them of our vocation in the Lord. This is the will of God, your holiness, your sanctification, that we're called to be saints. And immediately thereafter, he tells us what would short-circuit, what would eliminate, what would prevent this vocation of holiness. He says that you refrain from unchastity. The Greek word there is porneia. It's translated today immorality, but it's specifically all sexual immorality, which is contained in that Greek word. We are made precisely in order to love with the heart of Christ, to love as Christ loves. But what short-circuits that vocation to love others as unselfishly as Christ has loved us is when we start to try to take advantage of others for our own sexual kicks, for our gratification. Blessed John Paul II used to always say that lust changes the total intentionality of a human being. What he meant from that is we're made in the image of the divine giver to give of ourselves unselfishly to others. But unchastity, lust, turns us from a self-giver to a consumer of others. Rather than someone who sacrifices himself for others, we become someone who sacrifices somebody else for our own physical enjoyment. That's why St. Paul went on to say in this passage that each of you know how to acquire a wife for himself in holiness and in honor, not in lustful passions as the Gentiles do who do not know God. He goes on to say, not to take advantage of or exploit a brother or sister in this matter, for the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we told you before and solemnly affirmed, he's not making it up. And when Paul was writing to the Greeks and preaching among the Greeks, this type of sexual immorality was rampant. So it was one of the ways that he convicted them that unless they convert from that unchastity, they will not reach the perfection of love, which is holiness. He goes on to reiterate, "For God did not call us to impurity, but to holiness." Those two are in contrast. Impurity hinders the growth of holiness. Therefore, he says in conclusion, whoever disregards this, disregards not a human being but God, who also gives his Holy Spirit to you. That when we live by another gospel, the gospel of popular culture, which says that the ones who have a problem with sex are the ones who don't think sex is meant to be had whenever you want, wherever you want, with whomever you want. But it's got a purpose. It's meant to express in body language the love that's supposed to be present in our heart, supposed to be something for the objective good of the other rather than just our subjective pleasure. And in the midst of our culture, we need to remember very strongly these words of St. Paul in his first letter to the Thessalonians, that yes, we are called to be saints, we're called to be more and more like Christ, and we're never going to get there unless we live the gospel of chastity, which allows us to keep our attractions to others raised up to the dignity of their entire being, not just the sexual values that may flow from certain parts of their body, for example. But it also means that chastity is tied to purity and piety, as John Paul II said in his Theology of the Body. Purity so that we see God in others, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. And piety, that we actually reverence God in others. We treat them as a holy temple. We treat them as the image of God and never try to use them for our own pleasure or kicks. The gospel today, Jesus gives us a means by which we can grow in this capacity. It's the parable of the five wise and the five stupid virgins. Five wise bridesmaids, five wise virgins. They were the ones who had plenty of the oil of love burning in the lamps of their hearts, so that whenever the bridegroom returned, they would be ready. It's based on the way Jewish marriage culture would work, where after the actual contractual arrangement between a man and a woman in marriage, the husband would go off and work in order to be able to make the money to support the wife and the new family that would begin as soon as they began to cohabitate. After a year or sometimes even two, when that money was had, they'd need to throw a wedding reception. But in order to keep the number of invitees down, the culture said that in order to come into the wedding reception, you had to be ready when the bridegroom would come. So there would be an announcer who would go on out and say the bridegroom's going to be coming. That would generally mean over the next couple of days. And then the bridegroom would come in the middle of the night most often in order to get his bride and the wise bridesmaids who were ready. Anybody who was not ready when he came were shut out of the wedding reception. So Jesus is basically telling us here, we need always to be ready with a love for him whenever he comes, that we have to recognize that he's the bridegroom of our soul. There are two applications for this. The first is that when we know that the Lord is always around the corner, the temptation of the devil to sin against chastity goes way down. When we know that the Lord is present with us, we choose differently, we choose more wisely. Second application is to this term wise virgin. Blessed John Paul II in his Theology of the Body talked about the virginal meaning of the body, which means that our bodies, which are a sacrament of our entire person, body, and soul, are meant to be given first to God and in God than to others. And when we keep that virginal meaning of the body in mind, it helps us with our chastity here on earth, because we recognize that the temple of our body is always meant to be given in holiness and honor, as St. Paul tells us in today's first reading, rather than in any other way. And the more we're alert to this Lord's presence, and the more we live a life in which we're giving of ourselves first and foremost to God, the less we're vulnerable to the temptations to change the entire intentionality of who we are from givers to takers. I want to finish with some of the prayers from this Mass today. We're celebrating Mass for chastity. It's one of the votive Masses that are able, or Masses for various needs and occasions that can be celebrated in the sacramentary. And I presume for you it's a rare time when you've actually had a Mass for this. This is how important it is for the Church in order that we achieve holiness. In the opening prayer, we prayed a prayer that many priests pray every day, as well as lay people, especially those in Opus Dei. It's one of the prayers in their daily prayers. Purify our hearts, O Lord, by the heavenly fire of the Holy Spirit, that we may serve you with a chaste body and please you with a pure heart. We need God's help in order to live chastity. And chastity lived well is not a no to the good, for example, of human sexuality, but it's a yes fundamentally to the heavenly fire of the Holy Spirit, so that we might love God not just by not sinning against him, but love him with a real passion and serve him with a chaste body and please him with a pure heart. That's where we begin. At the end of this Mass, after having received Holy Communion, that bridegroom for whom we, with virginal love of a bride, waiting for a bridegroom to come and take us to be able to live with him in the eternal nuptial banquet, we pray, through the sacraments we have received, O Lord, may our heart and our body flourish anew by a keen sense of modesty and renewed chastity, so that what is past our lips as food, we may possess in purity of heart. So again, this Mass is so that we might have a new flourishing in body and in heart, a renewed chastity, so that having had the Lord pass through our mouths, we might actually possess him in love, in true purity of heart. And once we have that type of love within, then it's so much easier for us to be able to say to God and to others, "This is my body given for you. Praise be Jesus Christ."